Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So my football career may have ended on that field at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, but my fantasy career is on the rise, and that is where we are here to help. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. Yeah, I know that intro was corny, and no, I don't care here.
Because I do like how Cliff is making you relive it every time we come in for a new hour. You have to relive the end of your football career. The thing that I would imagine you probably dreamed of having from the time you were a small child, and you are reliving that moment over and over again right here on Jhené and Golic. I love it.
Amber, you know what? I'm glad you're here this week to shed a light on what I've just normalized around here, which is just this constant slander from my coworkers, these people that I call my friends around here who I love, who have helped us so much through this year of the show here. Amber, I'm glad I at least got one friend in you here who understands my plight.
You've got a friend in me.
See, Aunt's a great singer. What can't Amber Wilson do?
I don't know about that.
Listen, I'm gonna give you that credit right now because we're in the giving mood here. Because in all seriousness, it is a fun day around here. We've got the fantasy football marathon going on right now. I am, Amber, a proud alum of this fantasy marathon here. Shout out to the original Fantasy Island, me and Stu Gotts, locked in a studio for 28 hours watching Adam Schefter and Matt Berry turn green as we all went unshowered through the night here. We've come a long way since those days, I'd say.
I do remember that, actually. I remember you doing that. I remember you watching you do it. Certainly not all 28 hours of you doing it, but I remember flipping it on and off just so I could see how much you were deteriorating over that time. So you have come a long way. You look far more well-rested today during this fantasy marathon than you looked back then.
Yes, so it takes a village today, and so we are just a part of that fantasy marathon. You heard the Fantasy Focus podcast crew, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, and the crew holding it down during the Max Kellerman show today. And you can get and check out the ESPN Fantasy app wherever you download the apps. You can sign up to play on ESPN.com/FFL. You can draft and manage your team from either of those spots. You can get expert analysis right in the app from the Fantasy Focus crew, from the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, Fantasy Football Now. We got a great crew helping you out there. And new in this year, when you join the ESPN Plus Fantasy League for free, you're going to be entered into a sweepstakes to win potentially $250,000 and more. So there's plenty of different kinds of games. We'll get you all caught up in how you can do right on that one with a little version of Tell Me Why, a game we played a lot during last football season, give you some fantasy tips heading into the start of this season. But Amber, we came into work today, both of us, and knew Hard Knocks was on last night. The Cowboys are always a big Raider. So we figured that we'd come in here and probably talk about Dak Prescott, what's going on with his lat, his injury status, how that might affect fantasy. But then this beauty got dropped into our laps because we got a quarterback battle in Chicago. Justin Fields, the rookie coming in here, we all think, me and Amber actually disagree on this, that Justin Fields looks like he's getting ready to be the starter week one based on what we've seen so far. But my God, that's Andy Dalton's music. Listen to the veteran quarterback on the Bears roster talking about how he perceives this quarterback battle.
You can't focus on that. If you focus on that, then that's going to beat you down. And so I know who I am. I know who I was created to be. I know where my identity lies. And so do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. That's not my focus. I can't focus on all that right now. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time and Justin's going to have a great career, but right now it's my time. And so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
Heads up, nerds. Bearded Andy Dalton's out here cracking skulls. It's my time to shine. Amber, I don't know where this version of Andy Dalton came from. I don't really think I agree with his assessment, but I'll be damned if I don't kind of love it.
Sit down, Rook. It is my time. I love that bite because he starts off so quarterback speak, and he says all the right things, right? I want this team and the fans behind me. I also want this team and the fans behind Justin, you know? And then he takes a pause. There's this but, and then he's just like, you know what? Bleep it. this is my time. And that's where he goes. And I love it. This is fiery, bearded up Andy Dalton. Let's go. I don't think you're going very far because Justin Fields is the future in Chicago. However, let's go, Andy. You try to get that starting job for week one. And even though you'll have zero wiggle room at all because they will be looking for every single reason to bring Justin in, it is your time right now, boss. It's not his yet.
I don't like people playing on my phone. I keeps it real. Apparently, Andy Dalton in the year 2021. Now, Amber, you and I do actually disagree on what that timeline looks like for these two here. So I want to hear from you because you actually think Andy Dalton could and should start this season, right?
Well, it's not necessarily that I think he should. I just think that that is the plan. I think most coaches have a plan in the off season, and it's hard to get them to deviate from that plan just because of a training camp or a preseason. When we're talking about a position that's as important as quarterback, they brought in Andy Dalton. It's not like he's been there for a million years and they're now trying to replace him. Like, they brought in Andy Dalton, paid him $10 million, and told him he was going to be the starter. And he has vocally said that they promised me I was going to be the starter. It's one of the reasons that I'm in Chicago. And so I feel like they're just going to make good on that promise for the first few weeks. I guess you and I differ in the importance of starting Justin Fields week one. Now, I know that they have some O-line issues. You think that they need his mobility. The other flip side to that would be, hey, they have some O-line issues. They need that veteran presence. I do think Justin Fields has showed out in a preseason game. It was a preseason game. I would like to see more from him. We heard Nagy say that he needs to see Fields work with the first teams and against the ones on D as well, because obviously we haven't seen that. We saw him play great against the Dolphins. Those were not their starters out there on defense, though. So you need to see a little more from him. You also haven't seen much from Dalton. He was only out there for a couple reps. So I think that Justin Fields looks great so far from what we've seen. I understand why Bears fans are so excited, and I know that they want the future right now. I just think the future might come week like 3 or 4 of the NFL season as opposed to week one, so that's where you and I differ.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be, and we're probably, you know, parsing at that point when we get to the timeline there. The thing that just continues to drive it home for me, because I look at Andy Dalton, and you're right, I can understand the veteran presence of that, although we saw listen, in a situation where he had great skill position players and a beat-up offensive line last year, Andy Dalton in Dallas, not necessarily what they thought they were getting with that veteran backup for Dak Prescott when he was injured. But with Justin Fields, I think it's also about, because I understand what Andy Dalton feels he was promised. Like, you were brought over here on a 1 year. The promise is not necessarily something written in pen for that guy who, listen, I don't think the Bears genuinely thought that Justin Fields is going to be available where they went up to go get him. And so I just think plans change. And Justin Fields is a guy I thought should have been probably drafted in the top 5, quite frankly. That was the kind of player that he was at Ohio State. And so I won't be surprised if he takes the job just because of what you said. What we've heard is, all right, yeah, we're going to probably get Andy Dalton a few more live reps in the game coming up here. But Justin Fields, I want to see him throw the ball to Allen Robinson a little more. I want to see what he looks like operating that offense with some of these players that we've been looking for ways to unleash in the last few years. And for Matt Nagy and company, who, again, the future starts right now. Like, your job is not guaranteed beyond the end of this season. And so I feel like showing this organization, we know how to manage this rookie that you just spent a ton of money and draft capital on, probably the priority selfishly for that group.
But sometimes I think starting the vet and then you wait until you're at a point with the vet, hey, we rolled him out there, we tried for a few weeks, now we'll go ahead and bring in the rookie. Sometimes I think that that actually benefits the rookie and it helps Justin Fields there, as opposed to starting him week one where there's going to be all that pressure. And then where does Nagy go from there if you start Fields out of the gate? I mean, we saw this down in Miami with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick last season, where then you had Tua, you went to Tua, you made him the starter, then you're benching Tua for Fitzpatrick and everybody's going crazy. And it's because the Dolphins were still trying to win games at the end of the season because they were trying to make the playoffs and they found themselves in this weird position where, hey, we don't know if the rook's ready, but even though we had already gone to him as the starter, but now we kind of have to go back and bench him. And what does that look like when you're trying to gain confidence in a rookie? You don't want to find yourself in that position either if you're Nagy, even though you might not have full-on job security. That's why I think the transition from vet to rookie during the season is a much easier transition to accomplish than messing up by starting a rookie in the first week,
which is not a far-fetched comparison to make. The Dolphins, obviously, in that playoff push when they made that decision. The Bears last year, down the stretch of the season, were flirting with that as they got a resurgent Mitch Trubisky, who's now backing up in Buffalo. So this is going to be a team that's got some expectations, and what the future looks like for them, who gets to make these decisions and why, I think going to play a huge point in who we see at the start of the season. But we know it will not be because Andy Dalton did not campaign for himself out there, as the Red Rifle lets everybody know how he feels about this quarterback competition. Now, if you missed any of our show, make sure you download the Janann Golic Jr. podcast. And while you're downloading, subscribing, rating, and following, check out and tune into the Chinee podcast hosted by our very own Chinee Igwumike and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Coming up next, we've been focusing a lot on Saquon Barkley's return from his injury last year. Coming up next, though, we'll check in with the running back coming off of a banged up 2020 that you can actually bet on next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast. The Carolina Panthers.
We roll along in the NFC South with the Carolina Panthers. And for more to help us out with the big burning questions there, we head to Darren Ganton, the Panthers.com reporter, with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Cliff, number three.
Number three.
And Darren, we appreciate the time. All eyes certainly going to be on the quarterback position in Carolina. So, through camp so far, has Sam Darnold looked like the guy that Matt Rhule and company expected?
Yeah, I'm going to break it down using some really complex football language here. He's looked okay. Fine. He's good. He's all right. I don't think anybody's expecting Sam to go to the Pro Bowl or anything, but, you know, he's looked acceptable. And I think with what they're trying to build here and what Matt Rhule wants him to do, he's satisfying that obligation. He's fitting in. He's kind of one of 22 starters right now and doing all right. I mean, he's looked pretty solid, honestly. And in practice, he's got a decent feel for two-minute situations. And moving guys downfield, I don't think it's going to be huge and explosive. And, you know, he's going to leave in the Super Bowl or anything this year. But, you know, I'd say it's probably been better than I anticipated.
Darren, I have to ask you about the Greg Little trade. Of course, the Panthers, they traded away Greg Little to the Miami Dolphins. They got a seventh-round draft pick in 2022 in exchange. Were you surprised by that trade? What's that mean for the Panthers?
I guess I was probably surprised they got anything for Greg. I mean, he hadn't done a lot. He was he's an athletic guy, and it's kind of interesting. You trade away an athletic high pick who's got upside when he's 23 years old, and the next team he goes to says, well, maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Sounds an awful lot like Sam Darnold. And I think maybe it works out for Greg. He is a good athlete. He didn't find a spot here and was down on the depth chart. So they were just kind of punting and getting something for a guy they were probably going to cut next week anyway. It's a shame, but we'll see. The Dolphins certainly need the help at the position. We'll see if he can make it better.
Janann Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, going to training camp with the Carolina Panthers with Darren Gant with us, Panthers.com reporter. Cliff, number one.
Number one.
And if the Panthers' hopes and dreams aren't going to be pinned on Greg Little or necessarily on the quarterback position, Christian McCaffrey's return might be more important. Banged up a lot last year. So, Darren, how does Christian McCaffrey look so far as he tries to get back into that 2019 form?
He looks good. He looks like Christian. I mean, he's fast. He's quick. He's, you know, explosive in the run game. And that's the reason, part of the reason I think they've got hopes that Sam Darnold can be the guy, because, you know, you can hand it to Christian McCaffrey 250 times a year and throw him 60 or 70 passes, and he's going to make stuff happen. So, and that's why they want to build a program around Sam, because they know they're going to, I think they should have a pretty decent defense this year. They went out and stocked up in playmakers on that side of the ball, and you know you're going to have a pretty good run game in McCaffrey, so it makes the job a little more manageable for whoever the quarterback happens to be.
Awesome stuff. You can check him out at Darren Gant on Twitter, Panthers.com reporter, filling us in on the burning questions heading into the 2021 season. Darren, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Anytime.
And Amber, it's so interesting hearing kind of the tempered response around Sam Darnold, right? Because I'm not sure that's what a lot of us on the outside thought this is going to be. It was either, hey, you get a low risk, high reward where he comes in and can be the guy, or he bottoms out and you can get rid of him rather quickly in the next couple of years. This middle ground could be harder to negotiate.
That will be harder to navigate. I don't know if I agree that there will be that middle ground. I mean, he mentioned that the Sam Darnold story, the change of scenery. I think a lot of people have high expectations for him. I keep hearing him because we're doing fantasy. We're in the midst of this fantasy marathon, Mike. I keep hearing Sam Darnold as the sleeper pick in fantasy, which leads me to believe that a lot of people think he's going to be a lot better than the Sam Darnold that, of course, that we knew up in New York. So we'll see how it pans out. But a middle of the road scenario would be actually the most difficult scenario to navigate. Like, you either want them to be great or you want them to tank so that you know what you got.
Yeah, that's always the middle ground in life that's the most difficult to try and work through. And for Matt Rhule, who is another coach in year two, was a rookie coach, had to deal with a lot of the rigors of the pandemic now. You've got a receiving core that's starting to look good. You added Terrence Marshall out of LSU there. And I know I saw the receivers getting ripped a little bit by their head coach the other day for not necessarily being consistent enough. This is a young team who has a longer timeline. You sign Matt Rhule to that longer deal for that reason. But you don't want to see this kind of hiccup if all of a sudden Darnold comes in and you got to set that timeline back another couple of years.
I have to say this to you because we mentioned there during that interview, the Miami Dolphins O-line, because of course that Greg Little trade.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Mike Golic Jr.? I'm a proud member of Dolphins O-line Twitter, which is not something I knew I was a member of until last year. And I don't know what that means for my life as a whole, frankly.
Yeah.
But I discovered that I'm a proud member of Dolphins O-line Twitter last year when all of Dolphins O-line Twitter came at you, bro.
Listen,
we came at you on Twitter. You got us all aggravated. You, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, we all ended up coming at you.
For telling the truth. I don't know what you guys are so upset about here, Amber.
Not the truth, man. All you guys were saying was that Tua was going to go out there and get murdered because that O-line was so bad that he was going to get murdered, and Tua did not get murdered. In fact, he didn't spend much time on his back at all. That was not the big problem with Tua. I understand that he didn't have a ton of time, and that's not a great O-line, but nobody was getting murdered out there either. That was all much ado about nothing.
I mean, it was much ado about you guys had to go and trade for Greg Little, so.
Well, there's injuries. Eichenberg, there's injuries on that O. It's also a very young O-line. Listen, hashtag Dolphins O-line Twitter. Come at me, bro.
I'm, you know what? I'm glad.
Maybe Greg Little's the answer, you know?
It's going to be the difference. This is it for this year. And you know what, Amber? I'm glad I finally met someone from Dolphins O-line Twitter in real life, and we've gotten a chance to be together face-to-face here, because for all of us, it was never about you guys being the worst O-line ever. It was just the Dolphins O-line Twitter tried to act like they were a lot better than they were, and I wanted to bring us all back and ground it, because you know I'm a member of the Stugot School of Broadcasting that you're very familiar with. We got to set lower expectations around here than trying to act like they've solved all the problems.
Well, here I am in the flesh, a member of Dolphins O-line Twitter, a goal that I never actually wanted to accomplish in life, but this is where my life has led me. Here we are.
Listen, you found your way on this show and in Dolphins O-line Twitter, so I understand probably questioning a lot of life choices right now as you sit here with us. Coming up next, though, if you've got questions about the life choices for your fantasy football team, we will try and give you some answers next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I am amazed. Normally, we come to Pro Sports and get a lot of very tight quotes, a lot of glossed over coach speak type things from our athletes. And we have had not one, but two prominent athletes come out here and speak their truth in defense of their play. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson here. We're excited to add to that in just a little bit, but we know it's the fantasy football day around here, the marathon going on all over the network, and so we want to help you guys out with some fantasy advice as you head into your draft. We're going to do our parts in this marathon. mostly so they never ask us to be a part of a 24-hour version of this again, Amber, because you and I have both mentioned it's a lot easier to do this for 3 hours than to stay up for all 24. So if we just sprinkle in a little bit here and there, they won't get any weird ideas.
Let's hope not, anyways. Well, you've certainly paid your dues, so you would hope that you wouldn't have to trend backwards. You look better, well-rested. Your fantasy advice is probably much better, well-rested. Let's see.
That is true. We can try it out here. So why don't we figure that out here? If you're looking for questions heading into the fantasy season, we'll tell you why here on Shanahan Golic Jr.
Please tell me what that is.
Yeah. All right, you don't have to act so startled. What the hell was that?
Mike, tell me why.
All right, little fantasy edition of Tell Me Why here on ESPN Radio. Amber, we ready to do this?
I am ready to do this. Are you ready to do this?
I think so here as we loop boy band music in the background for the entirety. I feel very at home.
So tell me why Mike Golic Jr., Jonathan Taylor, should get you excited about Trey Sermon.
Yeah, so Jonathan Taylor, the star running back for the Colts out of Wisconsin last year, went to a crowded backfield. There were a lot of other bodies in there, but he ended up finishing as a top 10 running back in 11 of the last 16 games. It took a while for him to separate from the pack, and he did. Watching Trey Sermon, because I said this about JT coming out of Wisconsin, perfect fit heading into that meat slab downhill running game in Indianapolis. Trey Sermon came from a wide zone offense at Ohio State, did a great job for the Buckeyes in big moments, and seeing him in San Fran, Amber, it just seems like the perfect fit where, yeah, I know running backs tend to get lost in the shuffle out there, but I feel like he could be the one to break through, be a strong contender for you when you get to that playoff push.
Only ESPN brings you fantasy football advice to the sweet sounds of Backstreet Boys. Mike, tell me why Michael Thomas is the biggest risk reward in fantasy football this season.
So, Amber, I mean, you can look at just where he's finished in the last couple of years. Wide receiver one he ended up with in 2019. Wide receiver 95 in 2020. Now, he played just seven games, but that's going to be the problem is with the ankle injury that he had surgery on much later in the offseason than his coach wanted, we don't know how many games they're going to get him back. We talked to Mike Triplett yesterday, who said that that injury appears to have a better timeline than they originally anticipated, but you might be comfortable getting to stash him and playing for later in the season, but there's going to be some risk based on the way the last, really, two seasons have gone on and off the field there.
Speaking of risk, tell me why I should count on Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley.
Saquon's the one I'm going to have a tough time with here because I heard Stefania Bell, our great ESPN injury analyst, on earlier talking about the fact that Saquon Barkley, even though he's been off the PUP list now for a little bit, hasn't been doing a lot of team drills at camp, hasn't been tackled much at Giants training camp, and this is a guy who, behind an offensive line we still have questions about, is going to have to do that. But Christian McCaffrey has been sensational. Been RB1 going back to 2018 here. He's played all 16 games in each of his first three seasons. Only played three last year, but I think he's been back sooner from this. Less severe injuries than what Saquon dealt with. So I would actually count Christian a lot sooner than I would be willing to risk my fantasy season drafting Saquon Barkley as high as some people have.
Every time I think the Backstreet Boys Under You is about to end, it just comes with a vengeance. It's very startling. All right, Mike, tell me why Najee Harris is the best rookie to draft this year.
This is all about need. Like, this is a supply and demand thing, and the Steelers are going through a lot of transition. We've heard the complaints and the wonder about what Ben's arm's going to look like, and we just know at this point, they got to give those touches to somebody. The offense played short last year, and so who better to do that to a running back who is going to be able to go out there and get you tough yards? He's a strong runner. He's, I think, the best pass catcher of the running backs from this past draft, so he can give you plenty of ammo there. But also, you look back, Mike Tomlin gave Le'Veon Bell 22 or more touches in every game, in every season, 22 touches per game in every season he played there. They want to feed and feature the back, and they've got the guy to do it. So I don't know if it'll be a great season for Pittsburgh, but I think he's going to get enough chances at it to make it worth your while.
You're listening to Shanahan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. I am Amber Wilson filling in for Shanahan. He is, of course, Mike Golic Jr. providing you the hot fantasy advice in this segment. Tell me why. So tell me why Sam Darnold is the sleeper to consider.
So this is really interesting because, Amber, you brought this up earlier. We're hearing a lot of buzz around him out here. I saw Field Yates write him up on ESPN.com. He was QB27, QB27, QB33 in his three seasons as the starter in the New York Jets. And, Amber, I guess the thought would be, it can't get any worse. Like, when you look at quarterbacks, especially in normal leagues, PPR leagues, like, unless you're going to play in a super flex, you're generally, once you get into the middle of the pack, streaming guys, taking a flyer on a guy and seeing what he can be worth. This offense, we know Sam Darnold can scoot a little bit here, enough to maybe get you some yards in that area. And he's got great receivers in that room that they added to in the draft, guys he's familiar with. So I guess it can't be any worse than what we saw in New York, and that's probably the best advice I can give for him there.
I don't know if it can't be any worse is really selling me on drafting Sam Darnold, but I'll roll with it. So one more for you here. Tell me why a tight end should go in the first round of your draft this year.
Yeah, I think it's because we've seen now, I think this applies to three players. Because I know Travis Kelce is probably going to be one off the board in the league that I've drafted in already. Travis Kelce was my first round pick there because he's operated with wide receiver like video game numbers in that.
Now,
Kansas
is that Trav
offense.
Without or with the beard or yeah. Travis without the beard? Like, which one's going in the first round?
Amber, I think you've definitely got to factor in, does he grow the beard back by the end of camp? Because if not, I don't know how he can go out there with any kind of confidence to shake defenders.
Yeah, that's part of your board analysis this year when you're putting together your fantasy board. It's got to be.
Absolutely. Now, I will say, if you are feeling froggy here, Darren Waller and George Kittle, I think especially Kittle, Amber, what we saw last year was so based on injuries for that 49ers locker room. George Kittle is gifted. He's such a versatile piece. He's going to be on the field for tons of snaps because of what a blocker he is. He's the focal point of that offense that has a lot of pieces Kyle likes to play with there. And so I think if that team stays healthy, and listen, if you end up going with Trey Lance and introducing even more space, because I've heard Dan Orlovsky talk about this, quarterbacks with a dual threat, you don't see turn the ball over because now it's one more thing you've got to have an account for on the defensive side, which means even bigger holes for the offensive skill players in that Niners offense than they're used to. So it could be a nice resurgent year for George Kittle.
Well, you didn't have to stay up 24 hours to do it, but you did bring us the Mike Golic Jr. fantasy advice, so we appreciate it.
There we go. So little nuggets along the way to try and help everyone out. And again, you can head over to ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app wherever you get those. Coming up next, though, if you thought Andy Dalton was out here spitting hot fire in defense of his job today, we got another star athlete that's making his case that he will not go quietly into this good night. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
As a fan, this is amazing.
No,
this
is
the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Max Kellerman, and the Giants are ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Carolina Panthers are ready.
Zelen Hahn, I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I learned a lot about the people I work with on this show today. Been an educational afternoon here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson, kind enough to fill in for Chinay Agwumike today. And be quite frankly, Amber, the one person that I could count on in this show, so I am forever indebted to you.
I've got your back. I don't know if anybody else around here does, but I've got your back.
Oh, whoa. After all the years we've known each other now, I didn't even throw shade. I wasn't even throwing shade.
For anyone that missed it, after all these years, because Cliff, Billy, these guys I've known for a while around here. Billy, I won't lump you into this, even though you are a fellow Philadelphian
Thank
in there.
Thank you. Sheesh.
But after all these years, when I talked about an insecurity I had about being able to decorate my house earlier, being able to figure out what the hell I hang on the walls at my home, this was how Cliff decided to offer me advice. Trying to figure out what to hang on the walls feels like a marriage proposal, because once it gets up there, it's not coming down for a while.
Oh, all you got to do is just find like the dopest artwork, some sports pictures, some pictures of you and your family, because you know you don't got a girl. That wasn't shade. Like, it really wasn't that.
That was shady.
There's no other way to
spin that. What's wrong with not having a girl?
It was shady, Cliff, because you didn't even have to mention it, but you mentioned it.
Because it's not like you said it. It's like, well, listen, I know you don't have a girl. It's because we know you don't got a girl, as if the possibility or the mere mention of that was something that you could not comprehend.
If I'm just trying to throw the oop to you, like, yo, my man doesn't have a girl. I'm just trying to lob it up in the air for you, bro.
Like I tried to throw the oop to you when you dropped it?
Ooh, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Let's move on.
Let's keep that same energy.
Cliff, it takes
years. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
It takes years to build trust, just a second to break it. Have you ever heard that phrase? It takes a year, years that you've been building trust here with Mike Golic Jr., Cliff, and then... There you go. Just one day.
We still cool, right? At the end of the day, we still cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Trust gained in drops, lost in buckets there. We just tipped that thing over.
It's all kosher over here. We good.
Keep That Same Energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life here. And we have lauded Andy Dalton for going out here today, speaking his truth, saying, I hope Justin Fields has a great career, but right now it is my time. And apparently Luke Voigt must have heard Andy Dalton going out here and speaking his truth. Because the Yankee star went out here and made the case why, yeah, Anthony Rizzo's coming back, but I still get to be the guy.
I feel like I'm hitting my stride, you know, after, you know, getting a week's worth of games under me. And, you know, I was top 10 MVP last year, and I've been a great player for this organization for the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm not going down. You know, I want to play. Obviously, I know it's going to be tougher with Rizzo, but, you know, I deserve to play just as much as he does.
Amber, I love this. Like, this trend of guys going out here. Like, again, I may not believe them all, but I love the energy they're bringing.
Yeah, I'm here for the Luke Voigt, Andy Dalton campaign for myself venture that we are apparently have embarked on today that I didn't know was coming. Those aren't necessarily the players that I suspected were going to go on this PR tour for themselves. Luke Voigt basically just gave you his resume. Of course, he left out the part of kind of having like a mostly miserable season here, and he was key in that doubleheader that the Yanks won over the Bo Sox. However, to say that you deserve to play as much as that Anthony Rizzo guy, I think it might be a stretch, Luke, but I'm here for you to advocate for yourself. Shoot your shot. Nobody else is going to do it. Sometimes you have to be your own PR crew and just pump yourself up, your own hype man. And that's what we're seeing here from Luke Voigt.
Got to be your own biggest fan sometimes. Nobody else is going to love you like you can love you here. So shout out to Luke Voigt and Andy Dalton for holding it down for themselves. But if we're going to hand out shout outs, shout out to a legend today who decided that it was time to go on and enjoy the rest of life. Jackie McMullen, longtime NBA journalist, decided she is going to retire after a decade with the company here. Jackie Mack has been a consummate pro, Amber, someone we've all been able to look to see how it's supposed to look in this business when you do things the right way.
Somebody who has certainly blazed paths for women in this industry, not just her 10 years, obviously, here with ESPN, but she started in 82 as an intern for the Boston Globe, and she was there until 2008. I mean, she's a Hall of Fame writer. She's somebody who, of course, covered the Patriots during all of their championships and their dynasty and everything else that she's done and accomplished here. Remarkable career for Jackie McMullen. Remarkable.
It's been incredible. So congrats again to Jackie on a great run here. And we'll finish it off. Congratulations to Jaquincy McKinstry at Alabama, whose nickname Kool-Aid Amber landed him one of the better NIL endorsements so far. Him and Kool-Aid ink it and make it official. And Kool-Aid actually ceded the Twitter handle of Kool-Aid to him before the start of the season. That's love.
The real crime here would have been if Kool-Aid didn't get the NIL deal with Kool-Aid. That would have been the real crime.
That is true. Listen, I'm just happy that these school websites have started putting the player nicknames up there on the website so we can get beautiful moments like this along the way here. So that's awesome. Thank you to Amber Wilson for holding it down and being my true friend today here on the program. We'll come back tomorrow and see if any of the staff has more to say about me, but you can keep it here on ESPN Radio next. We got the Brewers at the Cardinals coming up right here.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.